At the UPS Store, we know things can get busy this upcoming holiday. You can count on us to be open and ready to help with any packing and shipping or anything else you might need.
Is there anything you can't do?
Actually, I don't have a good singing voice. The UPS... Nope. But our certified packing experts can pack and ship just about anything.
At least that's good.
The UPS Store. Be unstoppable. Most locations are independently owned. Product, services, pricing, and hours of operation may vary. See center for details. Come in today to get your holiday goodies there on time.
You like to watch new stuff, right? Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time. Like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. A new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's all new, and it's streaming now on Hulu.
Through 25 seasons, 4,561 episodes, I believe The Oprah Winfrey Show was one of the greatest classrooms in the world.
I really never thought of it that way.
The aha moments, the breakthroughs, the connections, the occasional ugly cry.
I miss him so terribly. I miss him every single minute.
The LOLs, the moments that mattered. The eye-opening life lessons.
Never allow them to take you somewhere else.
I'm bringing them back. It's time to open the vault. I've personally chosen these classic episodes to share with you again.
Every single person you ever will meet shares that common desire. They want to know, do you see me? Do you hear me? Does what I say mean anything to you?
You are listening to The Oprah Winfrey Show, the podcast.
So you're sitting in a movie theater. This is a little scenario. The people sitting behind you are yakking it up. I want you to answer this honestly. What would you really do?
I'd say, excuse me, could you please stop?
You would?
Yes, I would. I've done it before. Okay.
Anybody here would smolder and say nothing? You'd say nothing.
I'd probably tough it out.
You tough it out?
Yeah.
Okay, who would turn around and give a dirty look? Oh, boy. Bold but silent. Okay. Here's another question. You want to invite friends over for dinner. They ask if they can bring their kids along. And you really want this to be adults only. And they have... Are you laughing because you've done that?
My friend over there, right there, had to tell this friend here. She has...
Okay, stand up, friend over there. Had to tell
this... We were
this...
having a New Year's Eve dinner party.
Yeah.
And she had to tell this friend right here that her three toddler boys could not join us. But wait, because...
That's exactly what I was going to say. There are three toddler boys.
They're angels. No.
And they're angels.
And, but we're very dear, dear friends, so we can say that to each other, and she could say, oh, no, no, no.
But
because I said, I don't think I have a babysitter at the 12th hour. Should I bring my kids and put them in the basement or just not come? And she said, let me help you find a babysitter.
That's very good.
I was called my other friend and said, what am I going to do? I think she's bringing her three kids. This is adult evening night.
What do I do? She called you and said, what do I do?
And this is the first I've heard about it.
You know what? It's adult evening. My husband will die if you bring your three kids.
So it took you 24 hours to get the courage to say
the courage to tell her.
Okay, how many of you would cave in and say, of course, bring them along? Three toddler boys, your New Year's Eve party. Yeah.
Well, I just want to clarify one more thing. We were all spending a fortune because we were having lobsters that we had flown in, and we had waiters there, and everyone else had babysitters because there would have been 100 kids if everyone would have wanted their kids there.
But I also just kind of said... I never even knew it was this big a deal. This is the first I've even ever really heard about it. Out there like, oh my gosh, I still don't have a babysitter. What am I going to do? It was more like a conversation. But I had a lot of options still going. I was just kind of throwing it out. I never really envisioned bringing my kids there. And I've never, ever done that. Never. Oh. So it's not like I have a pattern of this.
Okay. Now, what these scenarios show us is how a lot of people, you were just saying how a lot of people, she would have let the children come. You were saying it took you 24 hours to get up the courage to say, don't bring your kids. So she didn't know it was that big a deal. She didn't know that it had taken you 24 hours to figure out how to say it. And you had a babysitter, right? Okay, so what we're talking about is how we tend to avoid confrontation. They can range from big things like saying, I want a divorce. That might be tough. Anybody had to do that?
Yes, ma'am.
Was that tough?
Yes, it was a little hard to do.
How long did you think about how you were going to say it?
Probably 3 months.
3 months?
3 months.
Okay, so those are tough issues, we admit that. So today we're going to learn how, specifically, to stop avoiding and how to have some of those difficult conversations. Because I know for a lot of you, it's like me, you don't know the words to say. You don't know how to even begin to say it. This is Jan Ferris, and she's a psychologist who works with women who have an illness. I had this illness at one time. It's the disease to please. It really is like a sickness. I don't think it's in our genes, but I think it's the way women have been raised in this country to be pleasers. The major symptom, it's often incredibly difficult and even painful to say the word no. How many of you have that as an issue? Women, really? Oh, really? Some of you are too old to have this disease. It's still hard for me sometimes, but it's gotten a lot better.
We're going to talk about difficult conversations, and I know we all...
For the past 10 years, Jan Ferris has led countless workshops just like this one. The goal, to teach women to speak up for themselves, especially when the conversation gets tough.
Basically, a difficult conversation is any conversation that you don't want to have, that you feel anxious about having, and that you're really sort of avoiding.
Well, why don't we try it?
For 32-year-old Lori, that means any conversation where she might have to say no.
What's really difficult for me is to say, no, I don't have time to do that, I can't do that.
Assertiveness tends to be more of a problem for women than men, and that's because of the way we're socialized. We're brought up to be sweet.
To help Lori learn to just say no, Jan suggests role playing.
Can you babysit my son tomorrow?
At what time?
Can you watch my son tonight?
No.
Will you watch my son tonight?
No, when you ask me to watch your son, I feel stressed and I need time to myself.
Great, so no. That was great, that was very good.
Catherine Dang's problem is also typical. She can't express anger.
I have a problem of expressing how I feel.
Just watch how difficult Catherine finds her session. She plays a patient with an unhelpful doctor.
Doctor, you're me.
It's okay.
I'm sorry.
Okay. It's all right. No, what's the emotion? I feel?
Angry. I can't do it. I feel angry, and I want you to take me seriously.
After several hours of hard work, Catherine and Lori are starting to speak out. And Jan says they've learned the most important lesson about difficult conversations.
The world won't fall apart if you're really honest with your feelings and you put a boundary up with your feeling.
That's the big issue, isn't it, Jan? Boundaries.
It's a very big issue because you need to be honest with your feelings. And if you don't have some boundaries about that and let that out, you can kind of lose yourself in the process.
Absolutely. In the early days, I was so bad. You know, I've been in TV all my life, but I had a show in Baltimore called People Are Talking. And the producer of that show, so I was on the air as the host of the show, just like I am here, but it was a local show. And I also did the evening news, so I was an anchor woman. And the producer of that show at the time, she had said to me one day, I need you to babysit my kids. So I am the evening anchor, and I am the host of the show, and I did not know how to tell her no. So I used to babysit her kids when I got off of the news. I go, okay, can they come to my house? No, because they need to be asleep. So I would trek my butt over to her house, then get up in the morning, do the show, and do the evening news. I was that bad. Couldn't say no.
Well, what would have meant if you had said no? What do you think would have happened?
She would have been mad at me.
Mm-hmm. And if she would have been mad at you then, so what?
Okay, now I'm doing therapy.
she did this to me earlier.
Is it okay for somebody to be mad at you?
Well, at the time, I thought that her being mad at me would have ruined my working experience with her on that show, and she was the producer of the show. I thought that she would have thought I wasn't a nice person, that I wasn't trying to do everything I could to help her. So when I finally was able to confront my producer, I wear contact lenses. So I took the contact lenses out.
Oh.
So that it's almost like having your eyes closed.
Mm-hmm. Right.
It's a great idea.
So I'm looking her directly in the eye, but I don't see nothing. You know? I'm thinking, let me tell you exactly like it is. Where are you? Okay, this is Linda. She says her disease to please is so bad that she can't even tell her hairstyle. Oh, I've had this too. I've had this too. I went bald once.
Yeah, you're afraid to say what you want.
So you can't tell.
This is not even a color that I chose. I like it.
Yeah.
But I let them pick it because I didn't want to say, oh, no, you have to do it this way.
How old are you?
29.
Okay, it's time to start coming
out. I need to get it, yeah.
Yeah. So when you go to the hairdresser, do they just say, do they just do with you what they want?
Yes. And have for years. And they do a good job. We talked about this earlier. I love them dearly. They do a great job, but I'm afraid to tell them what I want.
At the UPS store, we know things can get busy this upcoming holiday. You can count on us to be open and ready to help with any packing and shipping or anything else you might need.
Is there anything you can't do?
Actually, I don't have a good singing voice. The UPS... Nope. But our certified packing experts can pack and ship just about anything.
At least that's good.
The UPS store. Be unstoppable. Most locations are independently owned. Product, services, pricing, and hours of operation may vary. See center for details. Come in today to get your holiday goodies there on time.
You like to watch new stuff, right? Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time. Like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. A new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's all new, and it's streaming now on Hulu.
Okay, I have a classic story. I know I'm talking a lot about myself, but this is classic. I was 22... had just started this job in Baltimore as an anchor woman. And I have a lot of hair, thick. And the news director came to me one day and said, your hair is too thick. It's messing up the chroma key. You know what that is?
Yeah.
That's the thing. He says, messing up the chroma key, and you need to do something about it. And he said, and by the way, I think your eyes are too far apart, too. And your nose is too wide, and you need to do something. He says, you need to do something about it, so we're going to send you to New York. This is our working in Baltimore. We're going to send you to New York, and you need a complete makeover. So I just started the job, and all of a sudden, they're trying to make me look, you know, they knew I was black. I don't know what they're trying to make me be now, another race.
Yeah.
So anyway, they send me to the Shishi Poo Poo Salon. I know the name of the salon, but I won't tell. Shishi Poo Poo Salon in New York City, which is still there. I am sitting there, and I know there's a big difference between black hair, my hair, and yours,
oh, yeah.
You know, the texture and stuff. So I do know that. So I thought I'm going to be brave, and I say to the people at the Shishi Poo Poo Salon, do you do black hair here? And the guy says, oui, madame, we do black hair, we do red hair, we do blonde hair, we do your hair. True story. So I'm walking in, and they're serving you the wine and the ho-ho and the shishi and the little cookies and the thing, and he puts a French perm on my black hair.
Ooh.
Now, I know the perm is burning through my cerebral cortex. I'm sitting there, and the perm is burning. I mean, my eyes are watering, and I am dying in the chair. But I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings here at the thing. This is how bad I had it. So finally, I think my head's going to explode. I say, I think you need to do something. And he says, he reads the directions. He says, no, it says 18 minutes. You've only had it on 10. So for 18 minutes, I sit there dying. They finally take the perm off, and I have nothing but scabs holding my hair
in.
Oh,
my God.
It's true. Absolute true story. And I ended up having to go back to the station. All of my hair fell out in 2 weeks.
Jesus.
All of it fell out. I had to have my head shaved.
Wow.
This is how bad I had this disease. Because I couldn't say no. I couldn't say no to the hairdresser. Are you that bad?
I hope not.
It's terrible. All my hair fell out. Because you think the news director had a problem with the chroma key. They really have a problem with a black and bald anchor woman. It's true. This is Tiffany, and she says that confrontations make her physically ill. Is that true?
It is true.
You get sick?
I do.
The thought of confronting someone, my hands start to sweat, my stomach turns. I think a lot of it was how I was raised.
Uh-huh.
If I did everything perfect, no one could find fault. If I kept my house together, if I did everything that I could for everyone, everything would go smoothly uh-huh. and no one would be angry. And I carry that over into adulthood where I try to please everyone in my life.
Uh-huh.
I don't discipline my daughter because...
You don't want her angry with you.
It upsets her, it upsets me, and I don't want to be the bad guy.
Mm-hmm.
So I apologize to my therapist for unloading on her because I feel like this woman might have been having a good day until I came to see her.
Yeah.
And then I've ruined her day. So if I see people having a confrontation, if
yeah.
people are asserting themselves, I will leave the area.
That's right, because it makes you uncomfortable even to see other people do it.
In a restaurant, people will,
oh,
you know, if I get the wrong food, I would eat it. I would never send it back because I would offend someone. If the lady next to me is complaining about her salad or her food, I want to say, my food's okay. You know, I like mine. It's really good because I feel bad for the waiter to have someone say something to him.
Tiffany, what does it mean when you take care of everybody else like that? What happens to you in the process?
I don't take care of myself. And,
yeah.
There's no time for me, mm-hmm. you know.
Do you deserve to take care of yourself, though? See, that's a big question. I would think you do.
You know, I've never thought about whether, I don't think about myself. You know, it's always someone else, mm-hmm. you know.
So the bottom line is, you don't know how to stand up for yourself.
It's easier not to.
Much easier. Which I'm sure that isn't true if you could figure out how to do it. But to stand up for yourself, it seems like you would have to be making someone else back down or hurting somebody else's feelings. It's very important that I don't hurt anybody else.
Well, the first thing I would ask, do the consequences outweigh standing up for yourself?
I don't know. I've never done it.
The pain. No, I mean, not standing up for yourself. The pain of not taking the risk. Is that worse than actually trying to stand up for yourself? I mean, do you think it is?
Probably in my head, yeah.
In your head?
Uh-huh. Certainly yeah, in your right. head. Certainly in your head.
And I want people to like me so badly that I will do anything. And if they don't like me, I won't accept that. Because there's no reason for you not to like me. You have to like me because I bought you a gift. Or, you know, I walked your dog in the rain, you know. And I babysat your kids. I'll do anything for you if you say, wow, you're a nice person. I really like you.
Well, so all the approval's coming from outside.
It has to come because it doesn't come
all
from me.
Outside. What about inside, though? So, you know, that's really hard to do because in the society, you know, we're told we have to look a certain way. We have to weigh a certain amount. And I used to be 230 pounds, and then I lost weight, and I thought, wait a minute, I'm the same person inside, you know? And I think you really have to know that it's inside what counts, and you have to start to get there.
Yeah. Part of it is you haven't decided for yourself, and this takes some soul-searching, and I speak from, you know, life experience. You have to decide for yourself that you really are good enough, mm-hmm. that you are good enough. You're good enough to protect, you're good enough to defend, you're good enough to set up boundaries for. And you have to make that decision. And once you make it, and it's not easy, it's not gonna come like today. You're not gonna walk home and say, well, I got it, and I made the decision. Once you make it, it comes in, we're taking small steps. Once you make it, it really won't matter what the other people think, because you know for yourself. You are so certain in yourself that you are a good person, that if somebody else outside yourself says you're not, well, you know, you say, well, you got the wrong impression, because I know that I am.
There's the boundary
mm-hmm.
she's talking about right there.
But it's small steps.
That's
hard. Baby steps.
No, but it's baby, teeny, tiny steps. It doesn't all come at one time. You can't just say no to a major, big thing. You have to start saying little no's, mm-hmm. like little no's, and you'll feel like the world didn't fall apart.
Doing it with somebody that maybe is kind of safe, you know, that...
Your husband?
If it's safe, I mean, if you think you're a little more comfortable there, or maybe with a stranger... you know, that you'll never see again, maybe. And it's a little safer because, you know, it's not a huge risk. And then you kind of build up bigger and bigger and bigger to the more difficult conversations until you get to a whopper and you find out, wait a minute, I'm still alive.
Yeah.
I've survived. And I'm still very supportive of the other person. It's a win-win situation. It shouldn't be something where you're being overly aggressive and tearing down the other person.
See, and I learned, too, because it's very hard if you have the disease really badly. If somebody asks you something, even to this day, I'll say, give me a minute to think about it, or can I get back to you? Mm-hmm. Give me a minute to think about it.
I just say yes.
You just say,
I don't think about it.
I mean, I know. I used to be there, too. You say, give me a minute to think about it, and that way you can compose yourself, because many times you say yes, and then you're in the thing, you're doing it, and you think later, I should have said. I could have said. You know what I'm saying? But if you say, give me a minute, let me think about it, or let me get back to you, and I'll let you know tomorrow, blah, 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 whatever. But it's little teeny tiny steps.
You know, Oprah, I call that instant reaction the dinosaur brain, because we tend to be kind of primitive.
Yeah.
And this goes to the core of our feelings. And so right away, the feelings come up, and it's like, just react to it. Uh-huh. And you know, if you just step back and
step
think,
back.
Just wait a minute, think about
this
it a little while.
This is huge, though. Yeah. I know, you know, a lot of people, a lot of you all raised your hands, and we all have it, but I think it changes the course of your life in many ways, because you're not able to live the life of your dreams. You're always living somebody else's.
Yeah.
Don't you agree?
Yeah.
I mean, it's huge. Here's some advice about how to break the ice for those tough talks. Here we go. There's no easy way to break off an engagement, but in his book, Life Scripts, author Stephen Pollan provides some helpful guidelines. He says the secret is to accept full responsibility. Stress that the problem is with you, not your former fiancé. Make it clear that this is your final decision and absorb any anger your fiancé shows you. After all, it's understandable under the circumstances. Okay, here's another tricky one. How do you tell somebody that they have bad breath? Well, Stephen Pollan suggested you should try not to be embarrassed. The other person will be embarrassed enough for the both of you. Bring along some breath mints and ask if they would like one. You can say, I don't know about you, but I really need these after lunch. That should do the trick. Yeah, I just assume that anytime anybody offers me one,
that's what I have.
That I'm having a little problem. Because otherwise, why would you do that? Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was in the back of a car the other day and somebody did, and I really didn't want one, but I thought, I guess maybe I should have it. We've been talking to people who have trouble dealing with difficult situations. This is Doug Stone and Sheila Heen. They are part of a Harvard Law School's negotiation project. And they've written a book called Difficult Conversations. And Doug says that there are clear-cut reasons why certain conversations are more difficult than others. That's why they wrote the book, Difficult Conversations. Why?
Well, I want to give you two reasons.
Mm-hmm.
One is, difficult conversations always have the potential to change how we see ourselves. And I want to come back to this question about people pleasers, where you're talking about, can I say no? Someone mm-hmm. asked me about babysitting, and
mm-hmm.
you can answer the question by saying, you know, I feel really mixed about this. I like your kids, I like babysitting, I like you, and I'm the kind of person that likes to help out. At the same time, I do need to sort of draw limits, and there's something else that I have to do that's really important to me.
I wouldn't have been able to say that. So help me, God. I was 22, 23. I wouldn't have been able to say that.
The reason it's hard is that you're afraid, what are they thinking about me? They're thinking I'm not generous. They're
right.
thinking I'm not their friend, and that is upsetting. There's something that it says about who we are that disables us.
Yeah, you're thinking
us.
They're that's why I was saying you've got to know yourself.
Right.
Yeah. Once you really know yourself, but it takes some time to get there. Once you know yourself that you are good,
and
kind, generous.
Yeah. And accept that you're not always perfectly good, kind, or generous, that you're going to make mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
You're not perfect. That's something I think that we also have to accept about ourselves.
At the UPS Store, we know things can get busy this upcoming holiday. You can count on us to be open and ready to help with any packing and shipping or anything else you might need.
Is there anything you can't do?
Actually, I don't have a good singing voice. The UPS... Nope. But our certified packing experts can pack and ship just about anything.
At least that's good.
The UPS Store. Be unstoppable. Most locations are independently owned. Product, services, pricing, and hours of operation may vary. See center for details. Come in today to get your holiday goodies there on time.
You like to watch new stuff, right? Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time. Like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. A new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's all new, and it's streaming now on Hulu.
Okay, this is Lori, and she says she's afraid to say I love you to the people that matter the most. To her, and she says it's affected every aspect of her life, really.
It really does affect me. It affects
My dad had a health scare this past fall, and I wanted to be able to say it to him so badly. And he lives in Missouri, and I live in California. And I can write it in a card. And I thought, well, I could try and say it on the telephone, but there's a lot of anxiety that comes in trying to say it.
To say it.
And
just so the words, I love you?
Yes.
I love you.
Yeah.
Just those words?
Just those words.
Okay.
So I wanted to be able to say it. And I had all these visions of, well, what happens if something happens to him? I mean, I well up just thinking about it because it has such a weighted image in my head.
Mm-hmm.
And the reality is, it's not the words.
So you, yes? Mm-hmm.
It's not the words. It's identifying with the fact that you can expose yourself to, in turn, feel that unconditional acceptance back.
So you've never said it to your mom or dad?
Well, since my parents have divorced, opened up a lot of communication for us. In general, we didn't verbally communicate a lot in my family. So I've been able to say it to my mom. I haven't been able to say it to my dad. I'm engaged now and I'm able to say it to my fiance, but there's always a step in between where I'm very aware that I'm saying it. It's not an in-the-moment, spontaneous mm-hmm. sort of thing for me.
Well, Sheila has a coaching technique she calls doubling to help people work through a conversation. She's going to try it with Lori and Ann. Go ahead, Sheila.
Okay. First, one thing I want to say is you described it as a cop-out that it was never said in your family and that's why it's hard. I don't think it's a cop-out at all.
Nor do I.
Because we each grow up learning what emotions are okay to talk about and which
right.
ones are really better left unsaid, and we carry that with us. And it's hardest to break in the relationships where we learned it.
Yeah.
And what I want to do is come down and just get inside your head and think about, why is this so hard for me, and what is it that I want? Is that okay?
Okay.
Sure.
Okay.
You think about it, too, in regards to hair color. So what do you want to do, Sheila?
So let me just start a few sentences, and then you finish them, and
okay.
let's see what's going on in your head
okay.
as you're thinking. What I'm most afraid of if I said I love you is
probably the fear of rejection.
Mm-hmm. And what would that look like? What would my mom say that would make me feel rejected?
I'm not sure because my mom will say it back. But as a child, I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm. And it's hard to let that fear go. I also feel lots
Sheila,
of...
Sheila, isn't it not only hard, but she's wounded by that.
Yeah.
That is a deep wound that has not been healed.
And the scar gets yeah. picked open a little bit each time you think about it.
And right. I think a lot of it, too, is that I hold on to the anger and want to point the finger that because of you, I can't say this, because that's the easiest way to identify with the fact that it's difficult for me.
Yeah. And this is really common, which is if you also have negative feelings, they're going to block being able to express positive feelings.
Right.
And so sometimes it's important to say both things, to say, you know, in the past I felt frustrated or angry, and at the same time, I do love you so much.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want to try to say that?
Sure. Can I steal your words?
Take anything you need.
Can I write right out of her mouth.
And I'll go back to your, this is really mixed up in my head right now, but when
yeah.
I come back, I do love you very much. And though we didn't always say that, I did know that you loved me. I think I worried a lot that there were conditions that came with that love. And then I recognize now as an adult that I need to remove those conditions for myself and that the love in return comes from accepting that who you are and how you love me is exactly how it's supposed to be. So I love you very much.
I love you too, sweetheart. Well,
that's great.
It's supposed to be the happiest time of your life, but more often than not, it's a series of battles with difficult conversations at every turn. This is Kira and Ben, and they know firsthand how hard it can be to get ready for that big day.
Dear Oprah, everyone thinks planning a wedding should be fun, but it can easily get overwhelming. Ben and I have been engaged for a year and a half. We've been engaged so long because I knew planning a wedding would be stressful, and I wanted to put it off. But our day is fast approaching. There have been lots of difficult conversations. I have stepfamily, so the seating is tricky. The dress shop lost my dress, and my mother and I were at odds over the guest list. There are days when I'm so tired and tense, I want to just sit down and cry. As for me and Ben, we now have a solid understanding of why some couples elope.
So Kira says that what frustrates her the most is that Ben tries to avoid difficult conversations altogether. Is that true?
It's very true. And that's always been a pattern with us. We've been together for 7 years. And he's somebody who likes to avoid conflict, and I am very confrontational. So it's only been magnified by all the wedding stress. You know, I'm very tired. I have no patience. And that's not a good thing, especially when he's, I think, afraid to approach me about some things. For the most part, we've agreed about most of the wedding stuff, but we have had some things.
Some difficult conversations?
Yeah, a few.
Well, weddings are just going to magnify anything. It's a public statement for each of you and for your families of sort of who you are in the world and how you want to be seen. And there's so many conflicts in that. Whatever your patterns are together are going to be multiplied by 10.
Right.
Yeah, and we have really, really found that to be true. I mean, like I said, especially because I'm so tired.
Who's paying for it?
Everybody's kind of kicking in.
Oh, okay. So, I was going to say, because he who pays rules.
it's actually...
That's generally my thoughts on the matter.
I mean, sure.
You pay and you get the flowers you want, but okay.
No, I made sure that I paid for my dress so that nobody, you know, that was like the one thing.
What should they do?
Well, one of the things that is hard about weddings is that there's sort of this tyranny of a million decisions, you know, tablecloth selection. And so you play out all of the deeper emotional issues and identity issues through arguing about what kind of, you know, centerpiece we're gonna have.
Right.
So our recommendation is really to speak to the feelings underlying all of those issues of fear or anxiety.
But you see, that's what I have trouble with. I'm fairly laid back, or I'm the more passive of the two of us, I'll put it that way. What's frustrating, I think most frustrating for her, is that very often I won't engage in the conversation if I see it becoming difficult, or if I can see on down the line that it's gonna become emotional, or if
this is going a place I don't want to head for a centerpiece.
Exactly.
What is the...
Exactly. Then
this
I won't engage.
This couple over there is nodding. I just saw him kiss her. Because I guess it was bringing up some memories for you guys.
Oh yeah.
His mother-in-law needed, my mother-in-law needed a grand march. I didn't know what a grand march was, but it, and different things that, just different, coming from different families and different ideas.
What is a grand march?
It is going around the center of the stage,
you
and everyone holding a hand. And let me tell you, we got the grand march.
Yes,
I mean, in the end, the people that fight the hardest win, but...
That's right. See, the difference was, is I wanted to be involved. Most guys just, like, don't care at all. And I was like, no, but babe, maybe we should do it this way, so...
It was difficult. Very difficult time. Everyone said, I love planning a wedding. It's the best time of your life. It was the worst time of my life.
For you too?
I am dying for it to be over. We just want our lives back at this point. I mean, part of it is that it's been so long, but the other part of it is,
you just
know,
want our lives back.
You know, honestly, when it really comes right down to it, yeah, you know, we want things to look nice. We want people to have a good time and to be comfortable, sure. But, you know, honestly, is the tablecloth really that important? Well, when you're in the moment, yes, it is. But, you know, 5 hours later, you're like, all right, was that really worth it? You know, and it's not even that kind of stuff that we're arguing over. He has been very helpful as well. I mean, he's kind of stayed out of the flowers and that kind of thing, but he has been involved. So we're not really arguing about that kind of thing. It's more like, you know, budget related, or, you know, because I'm a spender and he's not. So even though it's not all of our money.
Could we get these worked out before the wedding? Because this will show up again and again in the relationship.
Yeah. And
money's a big thing, though.
Yeah. That's my big point.
Money is a big thing because there's all these emotions tied up with money, too, right?
Absolutely.
Okay, here's a scenario that most of us can relate to. Imagine what it's like to be sitting in your living room, but you can barely hear yourself think because your neighbor is practicing the drums. This is Amy, and she says that her next door neighbor's passion for the drums was about to drum her straight out of the neighborhood, correct?
Yeah, it was. It was really difficult, and I didn't know him well enough to know how to approach the subject. It was really tough. I was just at a loss for words because I was fearful of his response to me.
Yeah. And
didn't
in this
know
day and
all.
Age, it pays to be. You don't know.
Well, yeah, and our our houses face opposite streets. So I didn't really have very many opportunities to have any kind of a relationship with him. We, you know, said hi a few times. And so when it started, he built a shed, an outbuilding, right on our property line, like within feet of where my kids' beds are.
Wow.
And so, you know, I'm sure he had no clue how loud it was to us, but boy, it sounded like we were having an open-air concert in our front yard. And I didn't know what to do, and so I freaked.
What'd you do?
I called the police.
Is that why you didn't have to look at the neighbor?
Yes, because I was afraid of his response to me, so I thought, well, he can respond to the cop.
Oh, see,
now maybe somebody else called the police on him, right?
I'd be afraid to do that, because then the police have come.
Well, see, it was a really stupid move. It was a bad move to make, and I just didn't have the skill to deal with it well, and I didn't know him well enough to be able to know how he would take what I had to say.
Did you tell the police it was you?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, so they knew it was you.
Oh, yeah,
so
and he did, too. He came right over as soon as the police left. Came right over. Mm-hmm. He wasn't
Tiffany,
afraid
Tiffany,
to talk
what
about
would you have
it.
Done?
I wouldn't answer the door.
Look through a little peephole. I was actually kind of glad that he did, because then I didn't have to be nervous about running into him or you know, seeing him over the fence and not knowing what to do, you know. And so I was kind of glad when he did, because I thought, oh, he is approachable, you know, and he was offended that I thought he was unapproachable. He was very offended that I would take such measures rather than just come over and talk with him.
Didn't you got coaching, though, from neighborhood mediation?
Oh, yes, I did. Oh, I tell you, yeah.
So what did you finally say to him?
Finally. Well, the mediation taught me how to do something I didn't know how to do. I'm a very good speaker, but I found that I'm not a good listener. And conversation really takes both sides. And they taught me how to listen, and they taught me even further to see his perspective and that he's not wrong, it's right. just different.
Right.
And so I thought, well, I want to enjoy my home. Well, so does he. And I really realized, you know, that instead of seeing myself as being victimized by him on purpose,
yeah.
I should view it as he's trying to enjoy his home and his hobby and his instrument, and I'm trying to enjoy my home.
Right.
We're neighbors, let's find a common ground here. And so I thought about it differently.
So is he now still drumming?
He moved his drums inside his home where it's less noisy, and he drums not as late, and it's not a problem anymore.
He's just driving his wife crazy now.
Yeah. Okay.
I wanted to just say this because we have been talking about this, and everybody's kind of laughing, and Tiffany said that if the drummer came to the door, she wouldn't answer the door. This is really, and we've handled it very lightly today, but this is really serious business.
Oh, yeah.
And I know you know that. All of you who've written books about it, this is really serious business. So we're not making light of it. I know how serious it is. So what are you feeling? What do you want to say? But I felt like you wanted to say something else.
Overwhelmed.
Mm-hmm.
I don't feel alone, you know.
Oh, yeah, look at all the people who raised
I know.
Yeah. Thank you all. Thank you all for sharing today. Now we know. I'm going to go try to fix the rest of my disease problem. Thanks, everybody. Bye-bye.
I'm Oprah Winfrey, and you've been listening to The Oprah Winfrey Show, the podcast. If you haven't yet, go to Apple Podcasts and subscribe, rate, and review this podcast. Join me next week for another Oprah Show, the podcast. And I thank you for listening.